Hi, I'm Mike Martindale, pastor here at the Heights Fellowship. We are so glad that you guys have joined us today. We know that online isn't a replacement for the real thing, but we hope that as you listen to this message, that the Spirit of God would still move in your life. Thank you for listening.
If you are a father and you're here worshiping with us this morning, I'd like you to stand. Just want to take the time to say thank you to you guys for your roles in the lives of your children and your families, and assuming God's role as a father in those different categories of where you minister to those closest in your life. I just want to pray over you before we get started in today's message. Thank you for all you do. God, we as fathers have been given a great responsibility to care for, to prepare, to disciple those children that you've entrusted to us. And I just want to pray over these guys this morning. And as they continue to lead their children, who are all uniquely created, which means they have to have creativity to lead them well. And God, we want to say thank you for being the father to us that you are, so that we do have a model to follow, and we can read that, we can understand that because of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to lead us, to influence and to impact and to ultimately invest in the lives of our children. So God, continue to use these guys to make a difference in their circles of influence today. It's your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Process of prayer. We talked about last week the priority of prayer. And some of the things we talked about in that message was that in prayer, God is available, he's approachable, he's accessible, and he's reachable, which actually was 4 points that Mike used the previous week to talk about how God relates to people. And the same things are true in how God relates to us in conversation in prayer. We also looked at prayer should be these six different things. Disciplined, spontaneous at times, intentional, should be a planned thing in our lives. Should also be unrestricted. We should be able to pray whenever we're prompted to do that, to have conversation with our God, to listen to him, to talk to him. And we should be persistent in that. Those were some things that we saw in Scripture last week that I hope prompted you on this last week to spend some more time in prayer, to be diligent in connecting with God through prayer and listening to him as well as talking to him. Another statement that we made in last week's message was that for the follower of Christ, prayer should not be a matter of if, but when. And that's not something Randy came up with. That's what Jesus said. 3 times, 4 times in the passage in Matthew 5, as he's teaching his disciples, he said, when you pray. There's an expectation that each of us as followers of Christ pray, that we talk to God, that we listen to him in this intimate conversation. Sometimes very public, often very private, equally as effective as we connect with him in prayer. So it doesn't become a situation of if we should be praying, but it's when we pray. Matthew 7 is where we're going to be this morning. Last week I told you that in the midst of these stories that Mike's been teaching on, these realities of Jesus' miracles in Matthew 8 and 9, that we took a step back just to see the preparation that Jesus did in teaching his disciples, plus those who were listening in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Last week's passage, as I've referenced already this morning, it was in Matthew 5. Today's passage is in Matthew 7. This same message, this same sermon that Jesus was teaching his followers, he talked about prayer twice. This is the second instance where he talked about it. And we see it again in Luke 11 in another circumstance where he reteaches it. He tells them again. So let's look at what Matthew 7 says, what Jesus told us as disciples, what he told very specifically for the first time his disciples who were following after him. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? And then later on in Luke, as I referenced, they ask him again, God, teach us to pray. Jesus, please teach us to pray. We watch you pray. And so he retells some of this teaching in answering their question, teach us to pray. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him, which is the greatest gift that we receive, is that Holy Spirit, God in us as we live life. So let's break down this passage, talk about what's there, let the scripture speak to us. Verse 7 says, ask, and I've got you in parentheses because it's understood there. As he's saying this, he's talking to them, he's teaching them. You ask. That's the first level. You ask and it will be given to you. Okay? So we see the first step in seeking God's answer, if you want to call it that, God's direction, God's wisdom, you fill in the blank for what you need, is to ask. The second is seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. Three times, okay? Three times Jesus invites us to pray in increasing steps of persistence, of perseverance. We're going to talk more about that. We're really going to emphasize on those three words this morning because that is the process that we should all go through as we pray and as we seek God for things. Why? Because Jesus said so. That's what he taught us to do. And with those three invitations, we see that there's seven mentions of promises. Three of them repeated in a unique way based on the way Jesus is talking. And then the seventh one being that it's good gifts that he's going to give. There's a promise there. So seven times he mentions not only this invitation, but there's a promise involved with it. You know, I don't know about you, but if God promises me something, that's probably the strongest promise I can hang on to. You know, people throughout life, just like you, have promised me things. A lot of times they come true. They come to fruition. But there's other times, not so much. There's one thing about a God promise I can count on. It's going to happen. It's going to be something I can receive, that I can believe in when God says he's going to do something. In prayer, we get to see this. Three invitations, ask, seek, knock. Three promises, or seven promises mentioned as he talks through this passage and teaches through it. That you're going to get it. It's going to be given to you. That you're going to find it. That it's going to be opened to you. And in the promises, verse 8, he says, for everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. God makes himself available at all three of these levels. Okay, it's up to us to carry them out, to live them out as we pursue God through prayer, as we become intimate with him. Now you see, I've gotten everyone in a bigger font, in bolded. Who is that? Who is everyone? It's all the children of God who ask. And when you look up the Greek of that word everyone, you know what it means? Everyone. All of us who are children of God. It doesn't leave anybody out. If we're followers of Christ, it includes me. It includes you. So we all can come into the presence of God through prayer as we prepare to live out, to further the kingdom of God, which is what they're about to do in the context of him teaching them this. They're about to watch him do the miracles, which we've been studying for the last several weeks. They get to see his authority as God. But he teaches them we all can come to him as we proceed through seeing Jesus as God and then living after our lives as a disciple of his. So, let's look at the ask, seek, and knock. Put this into a modern day understanding, an illustration, if you will. If a child's father is present, okay, he's here. Maybe you're here in the room. He asks for him. He asks him what he needs, okay? That's easy. That's an easy step. If my dad was sitting here and I could see him sitting there, I could hop off this stage, I could go down and I can ask him for something. Real simple. Jim was talking there at the end as we emphasize being in the presence of God. When that happens, it becomes easier just to ask. I'm in God's presence. He's right here. I sense it. I feel it. I know it. But if a child's father is somewhere in the house but not seen, I look across this room, I can't see my dad. Okay, I can't ask him. He's not here. I don't see him. He seeks his father for what he needs. See, if I thought he was in the building, I would get off the stage. I would go through the doors. He's not in the room. I'm going to go find him. I'm going to seek him. See, sometimes we find ourselves there spiritually. Jim talked about the conversation that he had with this young man. Well, how's your relationship with God? Have you been spending time with him? Not so much. He's distance. He feels like God's somewhere else. You know, the reality is God's with us as believers in Christ. But sometimes we feel like he needs to be sought, that we can't find him. So Jesus says, ask. The child sees his father, knows exactly where he is. He goes and asks. But when he can't find him, he seeks him until he does find him, to present his need. And then that third step, if the child seeks and finds the father behind the closed door of his study or of his office or in the garage, he knocks to get what he needs. See how each step is a little more aggressive. Each step is a little more persistent. See, a lot of us will quit praying at asking. We stop there. Okay, God hasn't answered my prayer. I asked him. Jesus' instruction to his followers is to go to the next level. Take the next step. Seek him. Seek me, is what he's saying. Seek God. Okay? You don't feel like he's right here in front of you to have a conversation? Find him. You know, I told you last week when we were talking about the priority of prayer, I encouraged you, challenged you, if you don't have a place, you know, we often see Jesus going to a place to spend time alone with God, to get away from the confusion of life. See, many times you have to do that. In the chaos of the day, sometimes Jesus is hard to see. So seek him, get away to that place, find him, be persistent in knocking until he opens the door. See, all of that's prayer. All three words, all three truths from Scripture, all three principles, it's all prayer. Asking is, seeking is, knocking is. and you keep doing that. Those of you who are dads, the moms in the room, your kids do that to you all the time. All the time. Ask, can I have this? No. 2 minutes later, can I have this? No. And so what do you try to do, mom and dad? I'm going to go do something else so they'll quit bugging me. And what do? They find you. Always. Now, as a grandfather, I can't hide from my grandkids. They find me. And if I do hide and they can't find me, I end up scaring them and we have a good laugh. But see, they keep looking because they want something. And if they think I'm behind a closed door, whether it's an office or a bathroom or whatever it might be, what do? They knock. Riri, come out of there. I need you. That's the way prayer should be. Ask, seek, knock. You keep being persistent in your need. And the illustration that Jesus gives us in this passage is actually a Father's Day illustration. It should challenge you dads, because he uses the relationship of the dad and the child as an example. Well, what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will he give him a stone? See, no dad's going to do that. If your child is hungry, you're going to feed him. You're not going to give him something he can't eat, something that's going to harm him. You're not going to do that. Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? See, he's even asking as he's teaching question. They're going, I'll never do that. There's agreement there. It's a rhetorical question. He knows what the answer is. And then he says, if you then being evil. Let's stop right there. So Jesus is calling the dads, the parents, in this illustration, evil? Well, from a God perspective, we are. We're sinful. We messed up. But even in our sinfulness, even in our humanness, we still want to give our children good things. We still desire that. We still want that for them. And that's what he's saying. Even in your condition as a sinful human, you still want to extend good things to your children. And he goes on to say, you know how to do that. So how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? See, he goes back to that first word. You start with asking. And it carries over to us as we pray as adults. We get the children illustration. We all have experienced that. But see, who are we? We're children of God. That's the way he wants us to come to him. Now here are 8 encouragements, okay, from Jesus to pray. These all come out of this passage. First one, he invites us to pray. He makes it easy for us. If we didn't feel welcome, we might not go into God's presence. We might not pray, but he invites us. You don't often show up at someone's house uninvited, but if they invite you, you feel welcome. Jesus is inviting us to pray. That should be an encouragement to you. Number 2, he makes promises to us if we pray. We've already talked about that, how confident that should make us as we enter into prayer, as we ask and as we seek and as we knock, that he extends those promises already. Number 3, God makes himself available at different levels, wherever we are, wherever we need to meet him, whether it's really easy or it takes a little effort, or we have to persevere for days, for months, for years, and keep knocking. He's available. Number 4, everyone who asks receives. And as followers of Christ, as children of God. That should encourage us. Number five, that we are coming to our Father. The relationship that a father has with his children is very special. Knowing that we're coming to our Heavenly Father is a very special encounter that we should feel encouraged by. We should feel safe in that. Number six, our Heavenly Father is better than our earthly father. You know, in a room this size, the congregation of this number, not everyone has a good earthly father. You know, but what we see in Scripture here, what God is promising us, is that our Heavenly Father is better than those deficiencies we may see in our earthly father. And so we can come with confidence. We can come with encouragement to him, knowing that even our earthly father wants to see the best for us. But our Heavenly Father, even more so. Number seven, we can trust God's goodness because he has already made us his children. Anytime that we seem distant from God, remember, he chose you. He wants that relationship with you. He made us his children. And the last, number eight, the cross is the foundation of prayer. I think, Randy, how does that work? Well, it's because what Jesus did on the cross that we can have relationship with our Heavenly Father, that we can have relationship with Jesus Christ, that we can come into his presence and ask and seek and knock. See, that was taken care of a long time ago. As Jesus took our place and created at that time by defeating death, that relationship that we can have with him. That should encourage us. It should give us confidence as we sit down and talk to him and listen to him. Now, here's the question that stands out from this verse. Does this mean that everything a child of God asks for, he gets? The answer is no, in capital letters and an exclamation point. We do not get everything we ask for, and we should not. And we would not want to. Why? Because we would, in effect, become God. If God did everything we asked him to do, we should not be God. God should be God. The text implies that. That's why we come to him as our Father. And that's why you don't get everything you ask for, because the good thing that's talked about in this passage in verse 11 may not be what you're asking for. It's going to be something better. That's why you don't give up. You keep asking, you keep seeking, and you keep knocking. And then when you get the answer, God says, this is what I have for you. This is the good thing. Not what you were asking for. This is even better. Our God only gives good gifts. Okay? He doesn't give you a stone for a loaf. He doesn't give you a snake. He doesn't give you a scorpion, as the passages alluded to and illustrated. He doesn't do that. It's only good thing. He promises that. We can hold on to that. From God's perspective, he's going to give you a good thing. Fathers, finish up here. The most important thing that you can do for your children is to pray for them. You can give them the stuff they need. They need stuff. You can provide a house for them. They need a house to live in. You can provide food for them. They need food to eat. But the most important thing that you can do is pray for them. How? Daily. Disciplined. All circumstances of their life, you're praying over that. You're praying for them. And determined. There's the perseverance part. You're determined to cover them in prayer, to seek God's best for them, dads. And see, it doesn't go away. If you have little children, you should be doing that. If you have middle-aged kids like me, you should be doing that. You should be praying for them daily in a disciplined manner and determined to cover them in prayer. See, we can do that. If we take the passage as a whole, it says that when we ask and seek and knock, when we pray as needy children, looking away from our own resources to our own trustworthy Heavenly Father, He will hear and He will give good things. Now, what do we need to do in response to what Jesus taught His disciples and what He's teaching us? We need to take Jesus at His word. What we've heard the last 2 weeks, when we pray, we need to make sure we're praying. And then today, we've seen Jesus giving a process for doing that daily, disciplined, determined to seek God's best in our life. We do that through prayer. And we're free to do that whenever we want to. There's no restraints. I have to do it 6 o'clock in the morning, 12 noon, and 6 evening. No restraints to that. We can do it whenever. Because we're a child of God and we're coming to Him asking and seeking and knocking. Let me pray. God, on the surface, your teaching in Matthew 7 about prayer is very simple. It gives us a simple outline, a path to run on. But God, as flawed children of yours, we have to hold on to that. We have to continue to do it. Don't just be hearers of your word, but be doers of your word. We have to take you at your word. And so, God, just challenge us today as we leave here. Challenge us as fathers, very specifically, as we honor our fathers today, to make prayer a priority. And that we follow this communicated process from Jesus about how to do that. That we ask, and then we seek, and then we knock. And that you're only going to give us good things when we do that. So God, we thank you again. We thank you for allowing us to have this kind of relationship with you. That we can talk to you and we can listen to you whenever we choose. And it's your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We believe in the power of the Word of God. If you made a decision, we would love to hear from you. As well, if you have any questions, let us know at the email listed at the bottom of the screen. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a good day.